I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. Just realized what today is, Dylan. 11-11. Make a wish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Veterans Day, too.
It is. Yeah. More importantly, thanks for upstaging me, Dylan. Jeez, need to find a new co-host. What?
You always do those things. Like I'm, you always say, guess what day it is? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like so lost every time we do that. So.
Yeah, trying to keep you on your toes. You got me on that one. Okay, hey everybody, welcome into the Prep Rally podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Brad and Dylan here for the next few minutes. We got a packed show. So we may have to kind of rush through some things because we don't want to bore y'all for like 40 minutes, which we could do, know, if the listeners demanded it, but I don't think they do. Anyway, we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Well, we are now fully into the playoffs, all classifications. 2A, 3A, 4A started last week. 1, 5, and 6 this week get going. And so, of course, we're going to look at some of the big matchups coming up. We've got a little basketball to talk about as well, among other things. First, though, let's do the football rewind. Let's look back at some of last week's games. We'll start with a regular season finale for Tupelo going over to Oxford. Winner got the number one seed out of Division I 6A. And the reigning 6A state champions, not too surprisingly, pulled it out, Oxford winning that game 25-14. Now, this is my first chance to see Oxford this year, Dylan. They're definitely not an offensive juggernaut. I mean, they're not going to – not as good as they were. I mean, they were very good last year offensively. This year, they do just enough. But yeah. Their defense and special teams.
It's good.
Their defense is excellent. I mean, those linebackers, Will Fawn, Sanford.
Christian Shorter.
Yeah, Shorter. I mean, three of the best line. They might be the best linebacking group in the area right there.
And their offense got covered up last year, too. I mean, I didn't see them last year, but I've seen, you know, bits and pieces of things. And their offense last year was covered up because they had J.J. Pegues. You know, like they just lined him up at quarterback, and he's 280, 290 pounds, high school senior at quarterback. And, you know, they just kind of was run, and then they still had the good defense and won off of that. So, you know, offensively, they didn't really get it done, you know, that way outside of Pegues last year.
Right.
Anyway, so they've been on defense for the last 2 years.
And really this past game, the offense barely scored. I mean, it was a 6-0 Tupelo at halftime. Then the third quarter, Oxford blocked a punt, recovered it at the one. Oxford punches it in on the next play, a one-yard drive. I think it was the next possession, or maybe it was two possessions later. Anyway, same quarter. Block another punt, recovered in the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And later in the quarter, pick six for a touchdown. I mean, and boom, it went from 6-0 to 22-6 just like that.
Yeah, I was following it on Twitter Friday night and seeing it was 6-0 Tupelo, and I was like, well, heck, you know, like,
yeah,
here we are. And then I got busy at my game and whatnot, and then I just – like look back and it was 22-6 something along those lines.
Yeah,
and I was like, man, that turned really quick.
Yeah, Jamal Giles had the pick six, 54 yards there with 1:26 to go in the third, and that was pretty much that for Tupelo. They did manage to score a touchdown late in the game, less than a minute to go, but it was over by that point. And this is the most fascinating stat to me, Dylan, is Tupelo outgained Oxford in total offensive yards, 289-76.
We've talked about Tupelo struggles offensively all year long. You know, whether you know, like some nights they just can't throw the ball at all, and some nights they haven't been able to run it, and vice versa. And I think you know they have their struggles, but Oxford's defense is like they're just that good. You mentioned it with the linebackers, but they've got players in the secondary, and their defense is, it feels like their best athletes are probably on that side of the ball on their team. Like they're very, very solid over there.
That's a defense that I believe lost 10 starters from last year.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's insane how much they've
They just reloaded, man.
Reloaded there, but it's really good over there. So,
speaking of defense, Itawamba AHS got a good defensive squad, and the Indians beat Leake Central last week in the first round of the 4A playoffs. And, you know, they're real good at creating turnovers, and they did that again, didn't they?
Yeah, they had four turnovers, forced four turnovers, and had five sacks. They were just typical Itawamba defense, what I've seen from them all year long.
Yeah.
Just kind of went out there and did their thing. They held Leak Central actually to 162 yards, which, you know, which is more than what Tupelo got in their game. But
right. But
that was 128 yards off of Leak Central's average per game on the year. So that's pretty
wide
margin. And you know, they started out, they got back to back fumble recoveries from Wade Cannon and from Gavin Freeman. Both of those led to scores for Itawamba. Ty Davis hit Tay Chandler
for
a 25-yard touchdown on the first score, and then Isaac Smith scored after Wade Cannon's fumble recovery. So went up 14-0, and at that point I kind of knew. I was like, it's going to be really hard for Leak Central to score 14 points on Itawamba. And I kind of felt like that game was never really in doubt after that.
Right.
And sure enough, like, I think Leak Central came out and tried to do three straight passes and went three and out. And it's just not going to work on that secondary that's got Isaac Smith and Tay Chandler and Zion Ashby. That secondary is maybe the best part of their defense. And then they just kind of controlled the game from the very start. Once they got those two fumble recoveries there in the second quarter and scored off of both of them,
right?
It was over. They had five of their first six drives in the first half, all in Leak Central territory, starting in Leak Central territory.
Wow!
So they worked with short fields and just won the field possession battle and just, you know.
Yeah, 34-18 was the final there for Itawamba. Going back to the regular season game, Starkville losing to Clinton badly, 35-7. Starkville misses the playoffs. 2-6A is just insanely brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You got Starkville, Madison Central, Clinton, Warren Central. Forgetting somebody. Starkville. Anyway, we had the potential. If Starkville had won that game, we would have had a five-way tie at the top of the standings. As it was just a three-way tie, which is bad enough to deal with. But Starkville missed out. They had to win. And that's just shocking to me that they missed the playoffs. I mean, I know they lost a game. They had to give up a game to COVID.
That was Warren Central.
Yeah. And the game they could have won. Mm-hmm. If they had, that could have made the difference.
Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah, so. Man, I just really did not think, we had the football magazine we did this year. We had three quarterbacks on the cover, Jake Ware of Tupelo, Kyle Holiday of TCPS, and Luke Altmyer of Starkville. Would not have expected Luke Altmyer to be the first one to have his season over.
Yeah.
I mean, with that team, man.
It didn't shock me that Clinton beat them. Clinton's one of the, between Oak Grove, Oxford, and Clinton, those are probably the three favorites in 6A this year to go win it. But,
right.
But, I guess, like, the expectation that is there at Starkville with Chris Jones, and you have, inarguably the best player in the state at quarterback sitting there for you, too, that's, had a good year when he did get to play. And it's just like you said, region 2-6A is just insane, and it's unfortunate that they lost had to lose that Warren Central game, because if they win that, they're probably sitting there in might be seeing Tupelo
right. Exactly. This
week, so.
And that brings us to the football look ahead. Tupelo will be seeing Warren Central in the first round of the 6A playoffs, going to be hosting for the first time since I think 2017. And, we talked about the offense earlier, and even though they had 289 yards against Oxford, I mean, they couldn't score a touchdown to the fourth quarter. They had two really good-looking drives in the first quarter and ended up having to settle for field goals or in the first half. And so they got to learn to finish off drives a little better. Passing game was sporadic, as it has been most of the year. Run game was, it was okay. Not super. But the defense has been, pretty good. Again, the defense kept Oxford out of the end zone. I mean, the one touchdown they scored, they started the one. You can't put that on the defense.
Yeah, that's
so. In my mind, basically, the defense threw a shutout besides the field goal that they gave up later. But I think the defense is going to have to carry the day here for Tupelo. They're going to need a low scoring game, and I don't know a whole lot about Warren Central. other than they have a pretty good dual threat quarterback.
And their defense is pretty salty. Going into the going into their last game with Sal Pinola, they were only giving up like eight points a game, 8.1 points a game or something like that. So that's the type of game Warren Central wants too. They they want to keep it low scoring and play on defense. And I think you'll probably see a game that was similar to what you watched last Friday, probably, because that's Oxford wins on defense. I think Warren Central's the same way.
So. Yeah, Kendrick Thompson is the quarterback there for Warren Central. So Tupelo looking to get a playoff win. I mean, they've had a nice little run. They won five in a row before losing to Oxford, so they've really improved. But this is where it really counts. In fact, last time they hosted a playoff game in 2017, Warren Central, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Central was a 4 seed that year coming out of 2-6A, which is not your typical 4 seed, usually.
No. And like I said,
they're not your typical 3 seed this year.
Historically, they're a very physical football team. They just hit you and hit you and hit you.
And Ty Harden, that's what he's trying to instill in his team, is they want to be really physical, not always been a hallmark of past Tupelo teams for whatever reason. So if they're not physical enough now, then they're going to get a lesson in it Friday about how physical they need to be.
The Vikings are, for
sure. Yeah, definitely. In 4A, we got Pontotoc and Ripley. It's a rematch from the regular season. Pontotoc won the first meeting. It was 31-20, although Ripley kept it close and was in the lead.
Yeah, they were up 20-19 in the third, midway through the third quarter before Pontotoc scored and went ahead.
And like we talked about on the DJ Preps football show, which you can check out at djournal.com, Ripley, they've played some – tough competition, and they've been in most every game. I mean, they're 4-5,
4-6,
4-6. Yeah. Excuse me, but they pulled off a nice win last week. That last second kickoff return for touchdown by Centavius Hunt, and Perry Lyles, I think, has them on track, and would not be shocked if they won this one.
No, I was talking to John Luke about this yesterday. Outside of when I was at the Corinth game, if it wasn't for those special teams errors, those count. But, you take those two things away, Ripley beats Corinth that night.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're just kind of right there in every game. That defense, like you said, is just in there. They cause a lot of turnovers, I think 16 turnovers on the year that they've had. And they're a young group. And that's why, it's hard to pick against Pontotoc in this game, because they're going to be bigger. They're going to be more talented, more experienced in a lot of key spots.
Mm-hmm.
But Ripley's just kind of have shown all year long with playing a tough schedule that they're going to be in every game. And I think this game's going to be just like the first one. They're going to be right there with it, and it's going to come down third, fourth quarter, who can pull away. So
yeah, definitely. And then finally, in 2A, we got Calhoun City at Man Scratchy. Oh, excuse me, Mantachie. I say that affectionately. What are you looking at over there, Dylan? You having issues?
Yeah, my phone kept dropping out of my phone.
Anyway, Mantachie gets to host Calhoun City, which, of course, is a regular visitor to the playoffs. Gosh, they haven't missed the playoffs since, the 90s? Calhoun City?
Oh, yeah, 98. That was their last time that they haven't been. And then, from there, it was – they've only missed it, twice since they moved to classifications.
Right.
1 through 6, 5A or whatever.
Yeah, Mantachie, not a regular visitor, but Ken Adams, the first-year coach, has them playing better. 4-5 record. You got that single-wing Notre Dame box offense that can give people a lot of trouble. He employed it to pretty good success at Hatley for 3 years. So, kind of wonder, can Mantachie keep the magic alive? Have you seen them play this year?
I've seen them.
Against Walnut?
Against Walnut, I believe, is the only game I've seen them.
Oh, yeah, that's where they had the scrap.
Yeah, they're a little man scrappy here, whatever. That's more the nickname. But they actually draw a lot of those offside penalties on the defense if you're not used to it. Just because when the quarterback, Jacob Hawks, will get up there and he'll give a key word, he'll either say down or something like that. And the whole offensive line, all five of them, all the running backs, everybody jumps in the air 2 feet off the ground and jumps in the air and then lands in their 3-point stance and stuff. And it's just they throw so much eye candy at you.
Right.
And the direct, sometimes, the snap's not always going to the quarterback.
Right.
Sometimes it's direct snap to the running back and the quarterback's running one way and you think, where's he going? And the running back's had it the whole time. So they do a lot of weird, quirky stuff with that stuff, and it's paid off. I mean, they're 4-6 or so, 4-5, something like that.
Yeah.
4-5, I believe.
4-5, yeah.
And, they've won their first playoff game since, goodness, it was 2013, I believe, was their last week.
Yeah.
So it's been a while over there, but, first year he's turned it around, and they do some things, and, Yeah, the Cajun City.
Cajun City is Cajun City.
Tough task to, you know.
Yeah, they run the ball well.
Yeah.
Also,
Jalen Artberry's he's a very good player. So.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a game you'll be at, and of course I'll be at the Tupelo game. Okay, let's get some COVID updates here. It's pretty much a regular feature on the show by now, especially now that basketball has kicked in. Man, a lot of basketball teams are out right now. Tupelo's boys and girls, Lafayette's girls, Blue Mountain boys and girls, Ripley boys, among others.
Yeah, I can't think of. Keep going.
Yeah, that's all I've got on the sheet right now.
I think Kossuth boys are.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah, there's.
Gosh. And football, this is awful. Lafayette's football team had to go into quarantine, so their season is over. They were supposed to play Neshoba Central, which would have been, I think that would have been a really good game.
Oh, my goodness. It would have
been
so good.
Two great running backs, Jaden Reed for Lafayette, Jarquez Hunter for Neshoba Central, a guy we'll talk about in a few minutes. And, man, you hate to see that because Lafayette comes out of a really tough division, and I think they could have – I would have loved to have seen them play against Neshoba Central. If they win that one at some point, they would have met West Point, probably. Right. Probably.
Yeah, and then even their second round, they would have caught – if they'd won that, they'd have caught the winner of Lake Cormorant, the division winner who beat Lafayette in the season finale, regular season finale last week, versus El Ridgeland, who's one of the best 5A teams coming down out of the South. So, they – man, that 5A North was just going to be so just – daunting, and then of course if you get the West Point Lafayette, which is always a classic, they're potentially in third round or north half or whatever, would have been good too. So it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, and then Itawamba AHS, they got the good side of this. They were supposed to play Clarksdale, but Clarksdale had to forfeit due to COVID. So Lafayette is off this week. They'll advance to the second round without having to play.
Itawamba's off. Yeah.
I mean, what did I say? Lafayette. Itawamba.
Yeah.
Oh, so much going on.
Yeah, there's COVID's got everything on this.
It's got my head in the mess anyway, more than usual. Let's do a quick basketball rewind because I went to a game last night. You were supposed to, but it got
COVIDed out.
So I went to Saltillo as the girls hosted Tishomingo County, our number four ranked girls team. And Tishomingo County showed why they're our number four ranked team.
Pretty good.
Improved to 4-0 with a dominating win. In fact, I don't believe they trailed the whole game. I mean, unless it was like 2-0, but no, even then, let me pull up my story here because my short-term memory is just god-awful. But, yeah, they played, I mean, you know, Mara Nunley is definitely their best player, but
she can shoot it.
It is not a one-person show.
No.
Yes, she can shoot it. She just pull up from three and just beautiful stroke.
She's got deep range, too, for a girl. Like she's shooting NBA range.
For a girl.
It's impressive.
You sexist.
Well, no,
I'm just kidding.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Yeah. 67-49 was the final. Tish jumped out to a big lead, 17-6 in the first quarter. Yeah, never trailed. So Nunley ends up with 19 points. But, you know, they've got some really other really good players like Jayla Brown and the big 6'4" girl,
Clara Gardner. And Madison.
Clara Garland. Yeah, sorry.
Madison Bennett, the point guard.
Did a real good job defensively. Janiyah Hinton, you know, for Saltillo is a really good guard. But she got off to a really slow start. Ended up with 12 points, but she didn't do a whole lot there in the first half. So anyway, who else? I was going to mention the Floyd girl, whose first name escapes me. But anyway, they've got players all over the floor, man. This is a team that can – that's going to make some noise, I think, in 4A. I mean, I don't know if they can win a state title or anything, but I think they're going to be a team to going to have to be reckoned with come the postseason. And so, and Mara Nunley, keep an eye on her. You know, last year they had her and Katie Powers.
Yeah.
And I think Nunley was the best player on the team last year.
I do too.
As good as Katie was.
Yeah, she's good. She's at Fried Hardeman now, I believe.
I think that's right.
So, you know, that's a really good program in the NAIA, but Mara Nunley is. Like I said, that when you have to guard a girl that far out, when she crosses half court, and you know you've got to extend your defense out to guard her out there, it just it makes it a lot tougher. And then you throw a 6'4" girl, literally 6'4", in the post, you know that's just, I mean, nobody's going to have anything to guard that really, except maybe Pontotoc with Samaya Brooks. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Samaya Brooks, who I guess was supposed to have come back Saturday.
She's back.
Is she back?
Yeah, because they beat. They beat North Delta, I believe, with her,
That sounds right. Anyway, you know, I was trying to look up some points here. Yeah, so Jaylee Brown mentioned her. She had 15 points. Clara Garland had 13 points. And I mentioned Nunley had 19. Erin Wigginton had 14. She can shoot the three. Mm-hmm. She could last night.
There you go.
For Saltillo. So Tishomingo County now improves to 4-0. Saltillo drops to 0-3. And, you know, I had Saltillo, I think, number nine in our preseason rankings.
Yeah, they started
rankings.
Out 9, I believe.
I mean, they have played a pretty tough schedule
right.
to open. So,
but they've got the pieces to get it together. And
yeah, I mean, they were shorthanded last night. I mean, Madison Gardner, one of right. their big six-foot forwards, was out with a foot injury. And Maya Bobo, their 6'1 forward, who's their best player, mm-hmm. She got in foul trouble and had to miss pretty good chunks of time. And by the time she got in foul trouble, the lead was pretty big, but yeah. still that didn't help.
Yeah.
If they hope to come back. So, all right, let's move on to other things. Let's get back to football. Let's talk Mr. Football. The annual Mr. Football Awards were announced today. They've been doing this since 2016. And Northeast Mississippi got shut out. Awkward. Who do we have last year that won? Ike Chandler, Randy Anderson. I'm trying to remember if there was another one.
That's the only two I remember off the top of my head. Because yeah, 1 and 2A right. were repeat winners this year.
That's true.
3A.
That's true. Anyway, yeah. So, Mr. Football. The winner in 6A this year, Justin Wally, receiver and defensive back from Diverville. That guy can do everything. Now, that's obviously you could make a really good case for Luke Altmaier,
yeah.
The quarterback at Starkville. And I was on the committee, by the way. I'm not going to reveal who I voted for or anything, but we had a good long discussion this morning about Luke Altmaier and Justin Wally and the MJ Daniels, I think that was
yeah,
his name.
George County,
all in the mix, among others. But anyway, yeah, really tough call there. But Justin Wally, I think very deserving. Class 5A, Jarquez Hunter, I mentioned him all ago, the running back and linebacker for Neshoba Central. I saw him in the season opener against Tupelo. He is legit.
Yeah, he's very, very good.
He is good. Class 4A, Ty Cooper, defensive end from Louisville. 29 tackles for loss, 9 sacks. I mean, he's just putting up insane numbers.
Yeah, for a defensive lineman. Like, that's, I mean.
It is, exactly.
Defensive end putting up those types of numbers is just.
Yeah, I mean, linebackers don't put up those kind of numbers.
Exactly, so.
Goodness. And 3A, Chandler Pittman, quarterback and cornerback for McGee. I mean, I haven't got to see him play, but his numbers look good.
Former Ole Miss commit. He's no longer committed to Ole Miss, but he's a Division I talent there mm-hmm. at McGee. So he's had a good season, too. So.
Right. 2A, no surprise, Ty Keyes, quarterback from Taylorsville. He has won this award 3 years in a row now.
Yep.
But good news for other players in 2A, he graduates.
He's
so
a senior, finally.
Somebody else gets to win it next year.
Yeah.
And then 1A. Robert Henry of Lumberton wins for the second straight year. Listed as an athlete. He runs the ball, catches the ball. And, you know, I think technically I was not supposed to, like, reveal who else was in the running, but people know.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious who's missing.
I talked about 6A, like, people know Altmaier's in the running.
Right.
And 1A, you know, you have to know that Kai Holiday was in the running. In fact, you might be surprised Kai Holiday didn't win. Honestly.
I was.
I'm not going to say who I voted for, but I will say I'm surprised Kai didn't win.
I look at those numbers. I don't see how you don't vote for that.
The Robert Henry kid, obviously a great player, won it last year. But, and I know it's not all about the numbers, but still, again, look at Kai's numbers. They're insane.
Yeah, and he's on a winning team.
Because he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe he stays in the game when he shouldn't during a blowout, but he's still putting up huge numbers in the first half.
Yeah, his first half. I mean, like, because his numbers aren't just like, okay, well, they're slightly better than somebody else's. They're like way beyond
light years
everybody
better.
Else. Yeah, like, I'll read it to you.
Yeah.
He's,
you beat me to it.
He got 3,701 yards of offense this year. He's got 35 passing touchdowns and 24 rushing touchdowns as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even counting his defensive touchdown. I don't have those.
I know he had a pick six.
I know
recently.
He's had like several pick sixes this year.
And so. A kickoff return for touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just, the production, like, I get it. You know, like, it's one thing if you're saying, okay, like, this kid did it in 6A and Kai's doing it in 1A or whatever against.
Right,
his division's not great. But when you're looking at it and saying, okay, we're comparing him to everybody else in 1A, it's not even close on numbers. And then, you know, and I hadn't seen the kid from number two.
They're in probably the toughest division in 1A. With
they are in two. Yeah, they're in two. They're not in region one.
Right.
I was putting them in region one. They are in region one next year. But
yeah, no offense, division one, but
not as strong. That's Biggersville and Baldwin and then kind of everybody else. But
right.
But yeah, so you know, he's seen Nanawai put up really good numbers against the number one ranked 1A team in the state, defending state champion, 2-time defending state champions.
Mm-hmm.
And like he had a good night against them. Like it wasn't like, you know, oh, like, you know, they were in, TCPS was in that ball game with him. So
right.
I don't know. I'm not gonna get too worked up about it. I didn't vote and it was, you know, it is what it is. The kid won from Lumberton, but
right.
But man, it's just you kind of feel like a holiday because when you put it, I know if it was me and I put up those types of numbers and I didn't get anything off of it, really.
Like, well, his head coach and dad ain't happy. Sean Holliday told me I could say on the record, this is on the record, and I forget exactly what he said because we were just talking on the phone. But basically, he thinks it's wrong. And, you know, obviously, of course, as a dad, you know, you understand different. What he's saying, but I think he has a legitimate gripe, even if he's not his dad or even if he's not his coach. And again, I don't want to say anything. I mean, Robert Henry, I'm not saying he's not deserving.
Oh, he's a very good player. I mean,
heck of a player. Yeah. I just think Kai is more deserving this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's just those.
And why that went this way, I don't know. I mean, I can't mention. I'm not allowed to mention who else was on the committee.
Yeah,
it was a mixture of coaches and a media. So,
I mean, I think
from north and south.
I think you can kind of infer it though, too. Though I know you said there's a mixture from north and south, but. There's zero Northeast Mississippi. The furthest north player is Ty Cooper from Louisville.
Yeah, no,
on the list.
No Northeast Mississippi players.
When you look historically, I know it hasn't been around long. Not a lot of North Mississippi kids get those awards.
Yeah,
for whatever reason.
I don't know.
And it happens in basketball and baseball.
High school sports, a lot of people think high school sports revolve around Jackson.
And Jackson and the coast.
Basically, yeah. I don't know. Never getting on a soapbox, which I don't like to do. Okay, let's move on. Time for a shout out. It's a college signing day, early college signing day for a lot of kids. Got Hunter Elliott of Tupelo baseball signing with Ole Miss later today. This will be up before he signs. 4:00. I'll be at that. You got Annie Orman of West Union also signing with Ole Miss for softball. You got Macy Walker signing with North Alabama. Of course, Macy, a great basketball player. Been on our all-area team a couple of times. Paige Kilgore, probably the best softball pitcher in the area, is going to sign with Southern Miss. So that's just a handful of the mini signings going on today. So congrats to everybody for getting scholarships and whatnot. And let's close it out with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We recognize a male and female athlete. And this week, Female Athlete of the Week is Anna Grace Ward of Moorville Soccer. The senior had 3 goals in a 6-1 win over Corinth last Thursday. And she had another hat trick in a 3-0 win over Boonville on Tuesday. And so the Lady Troopers now 2-0. They get to face Tupelo on Thursday. That could be a good one. I got to see Tupelo girls last week against Saltillo. They won on penalty kicks, 1-0. It was a defensive slugfest, to say the least. Male Athlete of the Week, Alex Sanford, the linebacker for Oxford. And, you know, I saw him play last week, and I can testify these numbers only tell a part of the story. But he had 12 tackles against Tupelo, 2 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 3 quarterback hurries. He blocked a punt, and Oxford won 25-14 over Tupelo in the regular season finale for both teams. So congrats to Anna Grace and Alex for winning Athlete of the Week, and that is all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dylan's on there at DylanBarnesDJ. I'm on there at Brad Locke. And we will see y'all next week. Be good.